very catchy number. New song there from Linda Eder and her new album, The Other Side of Me. Linda Eder, as most of you might remember her from the Broadway show Jekyll and Hyde, but she's also done a bunch of other stuff, including lots and lots of concerts and quite a few CDs, and she's taking the time out tonight on this Sunday evening to be part of the neighborhood. So, first of all, let us welcome Linda Eder. Linda, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. How was your weekend? What did you do this weekend?
I actually was in Denver. I had a concert in Denver.
Okay.
Yeah, so traveling, flying.
Well, you're raising kids, right? So is that, do you bring them with you, or how does that all work out?
Well, I have one son. He's 9 years old, and he's in school, so it's I don't travel too much with him unless it's something that's close by or happens to be something that might be a fun trip for him that happens to be on a weekend, but, you know, most of the time I stay home with family here.
Have you felt, then, that either you might have given up something by trying to be a mom and trying to be more home for him, or vice versa? Do you feel that, that going away, you might have done more Broadway or might have done more movies or whatever it is if you didn't have the familial thing tugging? How do you feel about that balance?
Well, it is definitely balanced. I think I love Broadway, but that's really the reason I haven't gone back since Jekyll and Hyde, is because I had him right after I left the show, and I just knew from knowing what that schedule was like that it wasn't going to be right for me to try to do both, because I just wouldn't be there for him, especially when he hit the school years, where I'd be driving to work shortly after he would be getting home from school and getting home late, and it just wouldn't work for me, so... I've sort of carved a nice niche, though. I've figured out a way to balance it. I do most of those shows on the weekends and only so many per month. And, once in a while it gets a little hectic and I do feel a little working mother's guilt. But he seems pretty well adjusted. He's used to me traveling and working. And it's just, so far, I think it's worked out okay.
Well, cool. Well, great. And so you must do about what? Maybe 70, 80 concerts a year? If you figure
I think I average around 50, when you add in the days of flying. I mean, that's 50 shows. I mean, I do some other things, where they're not concert per se listed on the schedule. They're work-related things or they're special appearance things, but a lot of those tend to be, Manhattan.
Cool.
Works out.
And speaking of location, do you consider yourself an Arizonan or a Minnesotan?
Well, I guess I consider myself.
Are you on a cell phone by any chance, or?
Yeah, I am actually.
Oh boy. trying to speak into it and don't move around very much except your lips.
Okay.
We may be all right. You're kind of breaking up there for a moment. But you were born, as you said, in Tucson or Brainerd.
Wait. I was born in Tucson, but I grew up in Minnesota. So most of my life was, growing up was spent in Minnesota. I was a not even a year old when we moved to Minnesota, so I'm a Minnesota girl.
So, growing up there, did you feel culturally attuned to things? Were you involved, or were you taken a lot to the theater there, or did you have
not
to get
all.
Out of there? No, oh, wow.
No, not at all.
Okay.
I didn't see my first, theatrical production until I was a teenager, really.
What was it? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was Evita. It was a touring production of Evita.
Do you remember who the actress was?
No. In fact, it was the understudy of the understudy who went on that day. I think it wasn't even the lead, but it was, it was a great piece, so I don't really remember being disappointed by it.
The actress who played Wheezy on the Jeffersons, I think. No,
right.
Kidding. No, it's funny, because when I finally got to see Evita, it was one of the first Broadway shows I saw as a grown-up, and I went on a Wednesday matinee, and I heard so many amazing things about it, about the actress, and it turned out Patti LuPone wasn't in on the Wednesday matinees, and Che Guevara's Mandy Patinkin wasn't in on a Wednesday matinee. It was a good show, but I always wondered, now having seen Patti LuPone, especially in Gypsy, and having seen her in Sweeney Todd, it's like, there was something that I was missing that afternoon. Now I kind of get a sense of what it might have been. Oh, well. Did you?
Well, yeah, there's no question that, they lead their cast for a reason. They generally will bring something to the role, but, it goes both ways, I think. Sometimes the understudies can be better. You never know.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm not knocking understudies, but sometimes you also understand the level of star power. Did that Evita make a huge impression on you? Did you go home for the next week and a half with your arms in the air singing Don't Cry For Me, Argentina? Or was it just your mom took you to that, and then the next day you were playing sports, and the next day something else, and it was just part of stuff?
Well, I think it was like anything with me that happened to do with singing on stage. You know, from the moment I heard, you know, Judy Garland as a kid when I was 8 and figured out that I wanted to sing, I think any time I went to something that had a person standing up on a stage singing, I wanted to be doing that, you know. So, yes, I'm sure it had a big, big impact on me.
Now, when did you realize that you had a really good singing voice?
Well, I think I sang all the time from the moment I could make sounds to sing. I think it was a toy as a kid, but innately I was a musician, so that was my instrument, so I was always sort of singing. And I think I just started to realize that my voice could do things that my brother and my sister's voice couldn't do.
I would hope your brother couldn't do those things. That would be a little scary, actually.
Well, when he was younger, he had a beautiful soprano.
Okay. And even older, when you kicked him in just the right way.
Exactly.
It hit those notes again. Now, it says in your bio that your main influences, when you really started to become a singer and a vocalist, were Judy Garland and then Barbara Streisand. Is that true, or is just the most obvious ones to name?
Well, it's funny because, you know, I do have a Garland tribute album now, but really, her influence was not so much her style at that time. It was more the fact that she was a performer and she was out there with her heart on her sleeve, and she was singing. And that's really what made me say, okay, that's what I want to be doing. I want to be performing for people. But at that time, actually, I was more interested in a classical type voice. You know, Eileen Farrell was a classical, you know, performer, opera singer that I loved when I was 10 years old, and she was my first vocal teacher, I think, just by listening to her, and then I went from her to really discovering Barbara Streisand as a young teenager, and she became my next teacher, you know, and...
Did you ever have a thought of doing opera, or was it always more... Oh, wow.
Yeah, I did, I love it still to this day. I mean, I almost, sometimes I regret not having pursued it, because I think I did have a voice that lent itself to that, and I love the musicality of it, you know, I've always had a soft spot for it.
So at the point when, okay, I assume you took real singing lessons for a while, developed a style.
Not really. I pretty much self-taught. I had been singing professionally for years before I actually tried some vocal lessons, and I went really only for a few months and to a wonderful man, but I just didn't feel like it was really doing anything, because for one thing, I wasn't even singing in that sort of pop or Broadway style, which I do on stage. I was going and singing these classic scales and then thinking the whole time, well, if you ever heard me on stage belting out these songs, you probably would hate it. But he ended up coming, you know, one night to the nightclub where I was singing, and he loved it. He was very supportive, but I really didn't continue on. And then years later, when I moved to Manhattan, I thought I should try it again, and I took for even a shorter period of time, just a matter of, you know, a few weeks. I just realized that the woman I was going to wasn't, I felt like I knew more than she did, so I didn't really continue with that. So I'm pretty much self-taught.
Well, do you have any rituals or any certain things that you do daily to either warm up your voice or to keep your voice okay?
No, I don't, except that now that I'm older, I'm 47 now, and now, you know, it's only been in the last few years that I've even consciously thought I need to spend more time and be more careful about actually warming up. I used to just, you know, bounce right out of bed and sing. You know, basically, I'd go right out on the Broadway stage without even having hardly warmed up. I always had a very strong voice, and, you know, I'm not recommending that, and it probably wasn't good for me. And that's why now I'm much more careful. I about warming up and having a, you know, a good slow warm up and taking care of myself.
Well, let's hear a bit of Linda Eder's voice, fully warmed up and fully delightful. This is a song, I believe it's from the new album, If You Believe, or is that from a previous one? I don't have the disc in front of me.
This album is called The Other Side of Me, and this is a track called If You Believe.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this Sunday night, November 9th, and we've been listening to the words speaking to and the music of Linda Eder. We just heard If You Believe, which is, I think, a very, very appropriate song for this week, because I want to, before I forget, I want to thank all the folks who believed in and supported this program over the past few weeks and made that known to the station, and very, very happy about that, and that's why we're still here. So, yay. And Linda Eder is still here with us. Linda, you there?
I'm here.
Hello, Linda. So, what, your new album is called The Other Side of Me. I mean, we can kind of guess why you named it that, and especially from listening to that kind of song as opposed to what people might suspect that you usually sing. But why don't you tell us more about how this album came about?
Well, I've made several, and I have made, you know, albums that are standard-esque in style. I've made some Broadway records. I have done few things that are a little more popish, but then I did a tribute album to Judy Garland, so in the last several years, my concerts have gone a little more toward, you know, the standards and Broadway, and the band configuration even became more of that. I didn't have a guitar in the band anymore, and it became more horns, and I really was missing that sort of more pop element, because I used to have a bigger mix, and in reality, it was time to make another record. The record company had come to me and said, you know, to make the next record. And I just didn't really know what I wanted to do. I just felt I didn't want to do the same thing. And I came with the idea of going back really to my beginning, before any real influences as far as making records or picking styles of music. When I would pick up a guitar, I had a cheap little guitar that I bought as a teenager, and when I sat down to write, that's what I wrote. It was always country pop, sort of Americana kind of music, and I knew that's really what I wanted to do. I wanted to do something that was more radio friendly and more true to who I was off stage.
So, and what are the kinds of folks that you listen to? Who are some of the artists and singers and songwriters?
I love you know, Faith Hill. I love Sheryl Crow, Sarah McLachlan.
Oh.
Yeah, I really that's tends to be more the kind of music that I listen to. I might be surprising to some people. They might think, you know, I used to be, you know, as a young teenager, I was definitely playing Barbra Streisand records all the time, but I really don't do that anymore. I'm much more innately that, you know, so that's what it's become, you know, become for me. I like pop. I like Americana. I listen to, you know, people like John Ondrasik, who's the lead singer for Five for Fighting. I love his voice. I'm, you know, Train, I love.
Oh, yeah.
I love guitars. I mean, I think of all the instruments, really, acoustic guitar is my favorite.
Can you play?
I do. I play a little bit. I used to play, you know, when I was writing back then, and since I started writing again, I really wanted to pick the guitar up, so I bought another guitar a couple years ago and started to play again, and I really enjoy it. It's just is a little bit more natural thing, and I like to write on the guitar because the rhythms of it and the way it, you know, works for me, it really works out well.
Yeah, that's the thing that people also might not know about you if they just know you from Broadway or seeing you on Star Search, and we'll get to that as well. But you've written at least one song on the new album, The Other Side of Me, called Waiting for the Fall. And do you have trouble telling the record company, hey, look, you know, I'm a songwriter too, and they say, no, we want you to cover Judy Collins, and we want you to work with these established post-King Pan Alley types, and we want you to do a Broadway song. Is there any kind of problem with that? Or are they totally cool to hear your song, and they're like, sure?
Yeah, well, they weren't even aware that I wrote, because I hadn't written for so long. I married a songwriter, and suddenly I stopped writing. But it wasn't his fault. It's just that we were, the influences were there to go the more standardized and Broadway route, because that was his love, you know, and I certainly enjoyed it too, and I wouldn't ever trade that musical part of my life. But now that I'm back on my own, you know, the influences are just me again, and that's when doing this country pop Americana sound came back. All of a sudden, my writing instincts and my desire to write came back. So I started writing again toward the end of the process of the record, and that's how we came up with the one song. And I have, you know, a couple more songs that I finished recently that I wish that I'd finished them sooner, because they would be on the record, but you know, I'm just happy to be back at that. You know, I really enjoy it, and I think I have a knack for it. And like anything, you know, you'll hear so many people in this business say that if you're a singer and you can write, you should really write for yourself, because that will tend to be the best songs. You know, if you can have the ability and the songs are any good at all, they're usually the best for you.
And when you're in concert, do you feel a little something extra, a little something different when you're doing your own song as opposed to covering someone else's?
Absolutely. There's nothing to compare to. You're the standard, you know. It's yours. The words are yours. So there's a total 100% comfort, you know, in that.
Cool. Now, you had mentioned that you were married to a songwriter. I guess we can extrapolate on that just a little bit, because your ex-husband was actually on the show a couple of years ago, Frank Wildhorn, who wrote Jekyll and Hyde and who wrote a bunch of other shows, Dracula and various versions of The Scarlet and the Pimpernel, Civil War. Mm-hmm. So you were married for a decade or so? Or?
No, well, we were married for 6 years. We were together 17, though.
Wow. So why was marriage so different from when you were dating? What went wrong?
Well, we dated for quite a long time, and you know, he'd been married once before, and the impetus to get married, I don't know, it was maybe not uppermost important in either one of our minds. We sort of felt married, and then we just decided to go ahead and get married. And having been married then, of course, the desire to have a child, you know, because it's a natural flow of things. But I think it went wrong in the sense that the music was such a driving force in the relationship. And in a way, it's really music's a wonderful thing and it can bring people together, but it shouldn't be the thing that holds you together. And, you know, over time, once I had a child, I felt like I changed. And my focus, even though I was very driven and maybe not as driven as he is, you know, in his career, he's kind of 24/7 about it. And I had a lot more of that when I was younger, but in reality, I have a lot of interests. So I couldn't keep up with that desire to be always about the music and always into that. And I think ultimately that's when I stepped back and realized, you know, as wonderful as he is, this isn't really the person that I'm meant to be with for the rest of my life, because I'm too normal. I have too many other interests that are just normal, you know, the Minnesota farm girl.
Well, have you met the person that perhaps you are going to be with, or anybody close, or?
Well, I've been with someone, you know, for the last 4 years, and I, you know, love him. I'm just taking it a day at a time. You know, I don't really have that desire now that burning desire that I have to get married. I've been married. I've had a child. So I've completed, you know, something that a lot of people feel is something you need in life, and I've sort of done that. And I look at life differently these days, and I just want to enjoy it, and that can come in any many different forms. So I'm happy. You know, I'm really happy with where I am. I feel like I'm a different person than I was 5 years ago. I sort of feel like we all go through, we change. You know, maybe every 5-7 years we sort of make a slight shift and we become something else, and then it shifts again and we just continue to grow. And I feel like that's what's happened to me. And I think making this record, I feel like I have grown musically more in the last 2 years than I have in the last 10, because I stretched myself and I produced it myself. So
I
spent about a year just working on the record. So you don't grow unless you put yourself out there.
And by the way, just as you were talking about all that, it also just made so much sense why you would include on the album Judy Collins' Both Sides Now. I mean, that's exactly where you're at. Because now you've looked at everything from both sides now. You were win and lose, you know, up and down, love from both sides. And, it just struck me that, boy, oh boy, it isn't just that song's a chestnut. It probably really resonated with you on some level.
Yeah, it did, and it does. And so many of the songs on the record, that's why I chose them, you know, because they all said something that felt good to me at where I am in my life right now. And it's a... And, you know, there are some sadder songs on there. I'm good at singing sad songs, but in general, it's a very uplifting record. I didn't want a lot of slow ballads. I wanted songs that felt good. And what it really is, I think it is radio friendly, and it's very car friendly. It's a good road trip kind of record. You know, it's just feels good driving down the road with it on. You know, it puts you in a good place.
And not only that, the cover has a lot of trees and leaves, and the back has some leaves on it. So it's a green car. If you have a hybrid car,
yeah,
it's a good kind of hybrid car record as well. When we hear, when we go out with Linda Egan here, we'll hear one more track from her. But also, just want to ask you one or two more quickie questions, if I may, because I got to ask about the Star Search thing, because I was never a viewer of that show, so I didn't really even know about you until Jekyll and Hyde. What was it like being on American Idol before it was American Idol?
A lot easier than it is today.
Why?
You know,
how?
They couldn't speak to you. They couldn't give you comments. They could just. We had four judges per show, and they would just give you a number. They couldn't say things to you. And I, you know, it was hard enough then. It's very hard to get up and compete with something that's so personal to you as singing. You know, it's if you truly are a singer, it means you're somewhere. Your voice is connected to you as a person and your emotions, and so it's devastating really to lose, and I was fortunate, I never had to, but I watched people that I would get to know as, you know, shows were going by, I would get to know them, and I would watch them lose, and I would see them smiling on the camera, and the minute they stepped backstage, I saw what happened to them, so I can't imagine what the kids on American Idol are going through. I think, yes, it's a good show in that it's given careers to people, and, you know, we need outlets like that. But I think, all in all, I think they, Simon Cowell in particular, that they've damaged, you know, the fragile psyche of a lot of young kids out there.
So if you were to give advice to someone going on that show, it would be toughen up, or what would it be?
Boy, that's a good question. I don't know if anyone's ever asked me that.
I mean, every other question I've asked, you've been asked. Gosh, I gotta think of some more interesting questions then.
Well, no, I'm sure you've asked some that other people haven't, but that one is a pretty profound one that I can't immediately even answer. I mean, I don't know what I would tell them. I think it would depend. I would say to some of them, I would say, look deep in yourself, and is this something you really want? Because you're taking a chance, and if it is something you really want, then know that it is, and don't let what you hear go too deep, because of the fact that it's only one person's opinion, and this world has so many people in it, and you can be successful in many, many, many ways. There are audiences out there for you. So if you really love it and you stick with it, you'll find your audience.
And that's certainly been true of you from the very beginnings when you were singing young, and then 25 years old, you were already on Star Search. Or no, you were singing Hollywood at that point. I mean, you were already a featured headliner, and then on to Broadway, and now on to a concert career, and the new CD, The Other Side of Me by Linda Eder. We're going to play an older track of yours, but I want to thank you very, very much for being in the neighborhood. It's been absolutely a delight to have you. So when can people see you next round these parts? Do you know?
Well, you just have to keep checking lindaetter.com. That's where the schedule is. And people, I'm terrible. I don't know my schedule much beyond the one that's coming up, because I've been doing this for so long. I have to check my own message board just to see where I am next week. But just check out lindaetter.com there, I do get all, you know, all around the country, and hopefully I'll be in your neighborhood.
Well, thank you for being in the neighborhood, Linda Eder.
Thank you.